This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling. So.
That's what she said!
So why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola. Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Oral. A-U-R-A-L.
What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Vincent's collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course, as the lacrosse player. Bismarck. No, was it Bismarck? Was that his
Liz
name?
Mark.
Liz Mark. Mark. No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen-size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the fix.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I was just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what you're
our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
No way to be happy now. I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out. Give me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day. Everybody's laughing. Sunshine
Place to Be Nation. Welcome back to the great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast, a home for bitter nerds. Justin Rosero here, your co-host, along with Scott Criscola. Scott, can you believe it's going to snow tomorrow? Or tonight?
Flurries. What a joke. I mean, at least it's flurries technically, but screw it. I'm done.
We kicked off our basketball league on Tuesday, and it was chilly. It was like, you know, it was like our old days playing football the weekend after Thanksgiving.
Yep.
It was
a little extra breeze and
yeah. Yeah, a little chilly. My cousin Jack at one point landed in the snowbank trying to get the ball. So it was an interesting game of basketball, but winter will just not go away.
No, well, absolutely not. I'm actually tomorrow. I will be with I'll be seeing the Lumpy Silverback tomorrow, as his son is one. So he turned one earlier in the week, so he's having a little shindig tomorrow. But he's sitting there. He's gonna be cooking with his little, you know, thin Disney World windbreaker on, snow in his face, and
good.
Oh God. So feels like it's been forever, JR. How you doing?
It has been a long time. When's the last time?
I had an entertaining week.
Yeah, what is it? Was it Friday? I don't know. I'm a mess.
The last time, well, our last episode was last Monday, the March Madness preview.
Wow, that long, huh?
Yeah,
because this past Monday, of course, was the Kevin Kelly Show, abbreviated Kevin Kelly Show, of course. So if you listen to that, you know I've been having some issues with my daughter adjusting to the new baby being here. So a lot of nighttime troubles, a lot of getting her to bed, and a lot of lack of sleep for me earlier in the week. And that really kind of compromised that Kevin Kelly Show. I want to apologize a little bit. I don't think it was our best work. I don't think it was my best work. Kevin was great, as always. Had Moose on for Ring of Honor.
Love Moose.
Yeah, he
love
was on, Moose. Talked a lot about his career and days playing football and whatnot. So end of the week's been a little bit better, but we are going to be going under some schedule changes, and it's going to be a very different schedule, lighter schedule than we're used to here at the Place to Be podcast. So we'll talk about that at the end. So stay tuned with us. We're going to go over the new schedule with you. Just something we have to do right now to make sure the show keeps going based on both of our personal lives and the schedule that we have going on. So we're gonna get into that a little bit later. We also have Roger Morissette and Chad Campbell with us. Now, normally we're going to plan on doing a Raw Live watch. We're up to the night after the King of the Ring 93. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do that. We're actually going to talk a little bit just about WWF in June of 93. We're going to go over King of the Ring. Roger's watching it probably for the first time since 1993. So we're going to get his thoughts. We're going to break it down. And before we get to all that, though, we have a very, very special interview, Scott Criscola. This is one that may not be on the radar of a lot
it's
of
like
people.
Your whole, it's almost like your nerddom holy grail kind of thing here.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, I mean, you know what we pulled off back in October in our lives. And our friend Josh Richer said, he was telling his girlfriend about what this interview we have tonight. And she said it's like Justice is trying to go back and slay, you know, all of his childhood dragons, basically, right? Or trying to do everything he could from his early 90s and his youth. And it's true, because this is one I've wanted to do for a while, and I didn't think it was ever actually possible. And the funny thing is, we didn't even reach out to these people. They came to us. They found us based on our old review at Graham Cawthon's site, historyofwwe.com. And they reached out to us, and we were talking. And it's funny, because I got the email the night my wife was going into labor. So I'm at the hospital, and she's getting settled in, and I'm freaking out, right? I'm marking out big time. I'm like, look at this email I got. I can't believe it. And, you know, she's talking to the fucking nurse about everything else. And oh, I'm like, what a night. You know, what a big night. So once we confirmed it was really them, we set up some time here. We said, we'll reach out to you in a couple weeks once I get settled back in, and we want to have you on the show just to talk, because it's unique. I don't think they've ever done a podcast appearance before. They're very excited to come on and talk about this. It's something they haven't had any exposure for since probably 1993. And who we're talking about is the Male family, Wes and Kendra. You may know him as Wesley from King of the Ring 1993. We talk about them in our written review. We talked about them when we did the Vintage Vault podcast. And this family has been indirectly, you know, part of my life since 1993, because as soon as I saw the interview, I loved it. And the enthusiasm, the nonsense, the Terry Taylor stumbling over his words with his giant glasses, Wesley decked out in memorabilia head to toe, Kendra running around barefoot, the dad super into Hulk Hogan, the mom who's in love with Bret Hart. It's an awesome family, an awesome wrestling, you know, family out of the Midwest. And it's been a long time joke with us, you know, me, you, Andy Flanagan, Josh Richer, Jim Pryor, like our whole crew has been just been like, we've always talked about this. We've always referenced it. And they reached out to us because they read our review on Graham's site. They stumbled upon it, and they were like, they loved it. They couldn't believe that we had called them out like that. So I looked up, you know, Kendra, I put it on our Facebook page, and they emailed us. They both emailed me, and we're super excited to be on tonight. So if you haven't heard it, you're going to have to probably dig a little bit. I will play the interview for you right now. I don't think it's on the network, though. I looked for it this morning, and I think they might have cut it out, but you're going to do a little research.
I'm playing it right now, and it's obviously was before the Yoko Hogan match.
It had to be somewhere before that.
Obviously, you know, the wife's like, you know, the guy, you know, the husband, Hulk Hogan all the way. So I went to the end of the Bret Perfect match, and I've just been playing it. They go to a crowd shot, then they go to Bobby, who's wearing an ascot for some reason on the show. I don't
it is an
why.
Odd, yeah, I guess royal theme.
Yeah, Bobby, was it Vince or was it JR? I just realized.
It was JR. It was JR, Savage, and Bobby.
And Savage. And they're talking, and then they go right, and now I'm watching Hogan and Mean Gene with Hogan and Jimmy. So I'm going to keep the Hogan-Jimmy going, but I have a feeling, because it's a very small gap before the little button that starts the Hogan-Yoko match, so I have a feeling it was cut out.
Yeah, which is stupid. Because it's an awesome interview.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So you might have to dig around somewhere on the internet if you can find it, or if you have a, you know, unedited copy. Like, I have the original tape from when it aired on pay-per-view. So I have it on there.
Oh, okay. I have the Coliseum video, and I'm pretty sure it's on there, too.
All right, so here's a video. We're going to play it. Kendra put it on our Facebook page. I'm going to play it for everyone now, and then we'll bring in Wes and Kendra.
Wow, unbelievable. It's hot and heavy back in the 900 Hotline headquarters. It's so hot back there, but I had to come out in the Nutter Arena to feel it out here, the excitement. It's unbelievable. And we're here to interview a family. What's your name?
Wesley.
Wesley, you having a good time?
Yes.
Is this your first WWF event?
Yes.
I'm so excited I can't even talk. Mom, you glad that Bret Hart won?
Yes, I sure am.
You like Bret Hart?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Dad, who do you think is going to win it? Is it going to be the Hulkster? Is it going to be Yokozuna, the World Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion?
Hulk Hogan all the way.
Hulk Hogan all the way. You heard it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm heading back to the 900 Hotline headquarters. Throw it back to you, Jim Ross.
Okay. And with us now, the long-awaited interview, and I told them I'm trying to be as non-creepy as I can about this because they've been a big part of my life, and they didn't even know it for 22 years. And you just heard the interview now. I played it for you, of course, with Terry Taylor and the Male family.
Oh, God.
And that is with Kendra.
Red Rooster.
Kendra and Wes Male. Can you believe it? Welcome to the Place to Be podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Hello, guys.
So, yeah, really, really interesting stuff. It's something I never thought I'd do. And you guys found us. And the funny story that I was telling earlier is that when I got both of your email that you sent on the same night to me, was I had just gone to the hospital with my wife who was going into labor. And she's in there trying to get set up and talking to the doctors. And I'm freaking out about these emails. And I'm trying to explain to her. I'm trying to explain to her what it means to me. And she's like, what? What are you even talking about? I'm like, no, this family, they got interviewed at King of the Ring. And she's like, I don't know what the hell you're even talking about. I'm like, oh, God damn it. All right. I wanted to get back to you right away so you wouldn't, you know, you didn't think I was blowing you off or anything. And then we wanted to get in touch. So why don't we'll start with you, Kendra, then we'll get to Wes. Tell us a story about how you stumbled into our review and how you decided to reach out to us.
Well, I think Wes actually found it.
Yeah,
Yeah, I posted it or something, and we thought that the review was really funny, and we found the video from my dad. He had saved a copy of it, and he had a digital copy of it, so he gave it to me, and I uploaded it to Facebook, and I put the review next to it, and just everybody thought it was hilarious, and it wasn't until recently this came up again, and I was like, I should email these guys.
I'm glad you did. So, Wes, do you frequent Graham's site, or did you just happen to like be searching around for reviews of the show? How did you find it?
You know, I noticed over the years that the WWE deleted it from subsequent. It was deleted from the VHS and the DVD. It's not on the WWE Network version,
right?
So, I was just kind of curious if anyone had read it or reviewed it, that interview, because. You know, I've seen it over the years. I know it's campy. I know she wasn't wearing shoes. You know, I know I was a little kid. I was six. So I knew someone out there bashed us. And you guys did it in the best way possible.
So great.
It came off as, it was rude, but it was so funny. I would have did the same thing.
It was totally okay.
Good. I'm glad you were not offended.
I would have did the exact same thing. And we're not rednecks. I'm just saying.
No, definitely not. It was done out of love because
honestly, Terry Taylor ruined it for you guys anyway.
Yeah, he's stumbling through the freaking thing and everything else. But I have the original VHS from when it aired back in '93, so it's on my copy. Your interview, so I've seen it millions of times whenever I watch the show, and it's really been like a long time inside joke with the and Wes again. Don't take offense, but the Wesley has been like just that's been to something my friends and I will say to each other randomly at all times and. And your dad takes it with the Hulk Hogan all the way. To me, that's like the top. And I need to know if your mom is still. She seems really into Bret Hart, so I need to know if that
your
was
guy's
true.
Mom. Your mom seemed very sultry when she said when Terry asked about Bret Hart. So,
Wes, you should go get her.
She's in bed.
Well, we can really surprise her.
She doesn't follow it anymore. You know, it was a. You know, when I was a kid, I was a humongous fan, and I guess a little bit of background was I had every wrestling figure from like 88 to 93 from both promotions.
Yeah, oh God.
And that's how we kind of got in this interview. The guy was walking around asking people, you know, just random questions, and my dad spoke up and said, listen, my son has this huge wrestling collection. We had like 20 figures with us. And that's what sparked, you know, they didn't say anything in the interview, but that's what got us in.
That's awesome. So you bring your wrestling figures to the show. Terry Taylor seeks you out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you credit, Wes, because you were owning it, man. You weren't backing down. That could have been a spot. You know, you could have wilted on that one. Now, you're decked out in merchandise. Did they give that to you, or you already showed up like that? The Undertaker
already
hat?
Already had it.
Awesome. That is fantastic. Kendra, so what are your ages, respectively? Wes, you said you were six at the time, and Kendra, you were?
I was, like, 2.5.
Okay, so do you have any recollection? Outside?
No, not
okay.
at all. Only what I've seen on the video.
That's awesome. And Wes, you remember it more vividly from being there?
Just a little bit. The thing I remember the most is meeting wrestlers in the hotel. We end up staying at the same hotel as all the wrestlers.
Yep.
I met every wrestler on the card. I met Macho Man, who was doing color. And we got all their interviews on, like, cocktail napkins. I don't know where they went, but...
So you've been... so did you guys... would you come in from out of town, or were you from the Dayton area for that show?
We're from Southeast Ohio originally. We both live in Georgia now.
Okay, awesome. So so you were in the area at the time, go out to King of the Ring. Was that your first live show?
No, I'd been to several house shows, but it was my first and only pay-per-view.
Awesome.
To this point.
That's nice. Great. So now, Wes, I know you still watch wrestling. Kendra, do you still follow?
No, not really.
Yeah,
I was
out.
Never really too into it.
You just got dragged along?
Yeah.
See, I think there was some kinship there because my sister is about probably the same age difference as you guys. She's about 4 years younger, and she was the same way. She got dragged to a bunch of shows, and we went to the 1994 Royal Rumble, and it was the same thing. She was like just kind of there, didn't really remember much of it. She actually fell asleep at one point, and it was just I think that's why I always felt the kinship when I saw your whole family there. I'm like, it reminded me a lot of my situation where my mom didn't go, but my dad would take us and me and my sister, but...
Right.
That's actually my favorite pay-per-view of all time, by the way.
The 94 Rumble?
Yes, sir.
There you go. Look at that. We really are in sync, Wes.
So, Kendra, quickly. So, Kendra, in protest, then, for not wanting to really go, you decided to not bring shoes?
I have always been a barefoot West Virginia hillbilly, and I will accept that to this day. So that's probably why. They probably couldn't wrangle me into shoes.
She still doesn't. She still don't wear shoes.
For real, I'm barefoot all the time.
Now, if they had any kind of like merchandise shoes, you would have been all over them, right? They had Mr. Perfect shoes or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So what have you guys done since? Tell us if you want. You don't have to share too much about your personal lives, but how have things gone for you? Successfully? Kendra, I know you won an award tonight for... the biotech field, right? Something along those lines?
Yeah. I'm a chemist, and I'm about to graduate from Georgia Regents University in 6 weeks.
Wow, awesome.
So, but I won an award for student service in chemistry.
That's awesome.
I tutor, I teach labs, I teach supplemental instruction, and yeah, chemistry is my life. So,
congratulations, Kendra. That is
Thank
fantastic.
You.
Glad you're doing so well. Wes, what have you been up to?
I'm a journalist. I work for a music website right now, doing album reviews and stuff like that.
Oh, all right. Well,
very cool.
You know, PlaceToBeNation.com. If you're ever looking to do some wrestling stuff, we can talk off air. Maybe we can get you on board.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally down for that.
Awesome. We'll talk.
Music, too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely music, too. All right, Wes, so let's talk a little WrestleMania. Who do you like this weekend? Are you on the Reigns train? Are you on the Brock? You want to see Brock throw him into the Pacific Ocean? What are you looking at?
I like Brock Lesnar a lot, but I don't like the way they use him in regards to – they only bring him on like twice or three times a year. And like, what, 6 out of the last 7 pay-per-views, they haven't even had a title match. So, but, he just signed an extension – they're probably going to let him keep the belts, probably about, how they got him to sign the extension. But we're going to see a bunch of pay-per-views guys without WWE title matches if he wins.
So do you think if they do go that route, the rumor out there right now is, of course, Daniel Bryan will win the U.S. title. I mean, John Cena will win the U.S. title, Daniel Bryan the IC title, and they'll kind of be the headline position. Do you see maybe that going down?
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's in the cards, I think.
How about Undertaker Wyatt? Were you leaning that way?
I think Undertaker's washed up. I don't know how exactly they're going to book it. Vince has said in the past he likes Wyatt. And it would be a great way for him to get over, I think.
I mean, I agree 100%. I think bringing Taker back just to go over Wyatt, who if they just rebuilt very strongly, would be kind of just a waste of time and exercise, because we saw what Cena did to him last year and he didn't really recover for a while. So I think doing it again could kind of hurt him.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all. Oh yeah. I'm still kind of just on cloud nine marking out about this thing, but
I have to apologize on behalf of my partner here. He's He's a little starstruck here.
Yeah, I'm very starstruck. So this is, well, it's funny. I mean, with these, you know, these two never realized the effect they had on my life. They've been part of my life since 1993, and they never even knew it. But really cool. I'm so glad that you guys reached out. It meant a lot that you took it for what it was. It was, you know, tongue in cheek write up, and I'm really glad you didn't let it get, you know, you didn't let it get in the way of reaching out to us and trying to open lines of communication, because it's really cool that you did. So any final thoughts you wanted to share with us, either of you?
I don't think so. Thank you for talking to us and enjoying our goofy family video for your whole life.
Oh, yes. It's one of my favorite possessions, my King of the Ring 93 tape. So, well, thank you both. We'll stay in touch. Definitely keep in touch with us. And, it's really cool. I'm glad we connected. The internet's a pretty cool thing to bring people like us together. Talks of wrestling, talks of life. Kendra,
yeah,
congratulations.
It's amazing.
I know, right? Crazy. Now we're sitting here on Skype chatting. Congratulations again on your award, and congrats on graduating, and best of luck there. Wes, we'll be in touch too. We can talk a little bit about maybe, you know, doing some work at PlaceTobeNation.com. And speaking of that, Scott, why don't we take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Okay. Because
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself as Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews, our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews, and WWE Network live watches. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including The Main Event, featuring a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, WrestleChat.net's Still Real to Us podcast with Jeff Peck, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on what we should be excited about in the world of wrestling today. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, as well as the twice-weekly Bauer Show, The Kings of Sport, featuring live audio wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge, hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., often visited by special guests from inside the world of sports, as well as the NBA Team Podcast with Adam Murray and Andrew Reich for the deep dive into the world of pro hoops. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net for their support.
Chad, do you want your wrestling podcast to be informed by historical and analytical insight and by obsessive watching of footage from any era and any promotion and for them all to be available on one feed?
Sure do, Parv.
Chad, are you ready to shill?
I am, because I know you're talking about the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
Let's go through that again. PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
Got it. That's where you can listen to all sorts of different shows covering the history of pro wrestling in detail.
Shows like Titans of Wrestling with my boys Pete, the man of a 10,000 discs, and Kelly, the jobber lover.
I'm a jobber
lover. Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham.
Join me, Stephen Graham.
The smash hit wrestling game show Brain Buster with
Johnny Sorrow.
We have a host of top contributors like wrestling historian Chris Zellner.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Zellner here, starting a new podcast venture.
And the Pro Wrestling Only admins, the man who knows more about 90s wrestling than maybe anybody on earth, Charles, and good old Will from Texas.
This is Will, and I'm joined today by my good buddy Charles.
Whether it's the territories, WWF, NWA, Mid-South, Texas, Portland, tag team wrestling, Japanese wrestling, lucha, old school, new school, we got it.
And of course, the feed still has the mothership itself,
where the big boys play,
on which we continue our endless journey through WCW Supercards.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. It's pro wrestling only.
You know you want to hear it.
All right, Scott, fantasies fulfilled here tonight, Place to Be Nation, where bitter nerds come to rest and talk and mark out. PlaceToBeNation.com, your one stop. Only place to be in the pop culture world. It is WrestleMania week, and we have a robust offering for you. Goodwill Wrestling with our buddy Will was with you on Main Event this past week, and he gave a slew of podcasts Chad Campbell's with us here, of course, one of our mainstays on loan from Voices of Wrestling. Chad, do you want to give us a little background on what Will delivered here this week for the Goodwill Wrestling Series?
Yeah, so when we're recording this, there's five Goodwill Wrestling pods that have went up this week, and they're recording the sixth as we are talking on this show. So that'll be six Goodwill Wrestling pods. You had where they booked their WrestleMania card. That was kind of a good offshoot to the written pieces that have been on PTB for the past few weeks. A little bit different where they only pick 10 matches, but also some of the restrictions were the same. So that's kind of like a median in between the Place to Be podcast pods that we've done with the all-time cards, monthly cards, and the written pieces. So that was Monday. Then Tuesday and Wednesday, they went through every WrestleMania and looked at the booking, the good and the bad, and kind of compared it to their opinions and thoughts on the booking heading into this year's WrestleMania. Thursday's show number four, was my personal favorite, where they compared WrestleMania to Starrcade. They went from 1983, when Starrcade started, and ended in 1994 with WrestleMania 10. Versus the great Starrcade with the Butcher and Hogan. But that's a great historical podcast. You had Chris Zellner on that one, Parv bringing the WCW knowledge, just some great debate on which show and which year was better between Starrcade and WrestleMania. And then this today, Friday, just recently, their WrestleMania 31 preview was posted, where you get all their thoughts. Johnny Sorrow and Pete from Titans, as well as Zellner, is also on that pod. So absolutely crammed to the wall of Goodwill Wrestling. I think about 15 hours of audio content.
And another one to come, I think, right?
And another one to come, plus the big reaction show that'll be Monday morning. As soon as you wake up Monday morning, the reaction show will be ready.
And you're having your coffee Monday morning, yeah.
Right. So tons of audio there.
So speaking of WrestleMania 31 preview, the man who's a recently found love and computer, Dan McGinn, is delivering his preview as he does each and every month for all the pay-per-views. So you could check out his predictions and thoughts on the show. Nick Duke, Yeoman's work, had a large group of us. We ranked the WrestleManias, and we had each of us wrote some of them up, our thoughts on them. The definitive PTBN ranking of all the WrestleManias, the last installment, will be up tomorrow. So we go 30 through number one. Nice companion piece of the old Brad and Chad show. Ben and Glenn did a five count for The Undertaker's top WrestleMania opponents, or top five of each of them. Aaron George, myself, and a host of others did the great WrestleMania rebook series. We rebooked each and every WrestleMania card under a very strict set of rules. You can go in there and vote now. I've been dominating the votes, as you'd expect, of course, all my fans, my legions of followers, all my marks, all my yes men that follow me around, going on and voting, so I appreciate that. Main event, Scott, you guys previewed WrestleMania 31 there as well with the you had your friend Aubrey from Straight Shoot. You had Will, you had Ben Morse, and Andrew Reich were on that as well. So, also, I did a piece, can you believe it, out there writing again. 22-1 or 21-2, I looked at what should happen in the Bray Wyatt Undertaker match. You heard us talk a little bit about it earlier with Wes Mayall. And we got into that a little bit. Jason Greenhouse did an awesome piece ranking Randy Savage's WrestleMania matches.
Yeah.
So lots of Mania content for you out there on PlaceToBeNation.com. Facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation. Twitter, Place2BNation. We have tons of podcasts for you, as you all know. Kevin Kelly's show, Graham Cawthon's History of Wrestling, and Wrestling with Optimism, Main Event, where the big boys play, on and on and on, as you heard in the break. So I hope you enjoyed the brand new break, by the way. Hope you guys enjoyed that. So, all right, also with us, we got the cowboy, Roger Morissette. How you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Right. Has a shirt on.
He's got a shirt on. I have a Boneheads Wing Bar shirt on. Going there for WrestleMania Sunday.
I was wondering where that sentence was going when I heard
I thought the same thing, Chad.
I was like, okay.
I got no shirt on and a Boneheads shirt on now. Yeah.
All right. Well, with that,
I don't know
out
what
of
you
way,
guys mean.
Yeah.
Very excited about King of the Ring 93.
He's very, very excited. It's got he's high on the hog, boots are on the ground, ready to talk King of the Ring 93. So, this you know, we left off with our Raw live watches that we've been doing, and we were up to Canary 93. So we thought because we were able to get the Mayall family on, we'd kind of tie it in with talking about Canary. Scott, we have a lot of dumb luck with that stuff. We always seem to back into these interviews or chats right when we're like on the shows that matter.
Exactly.
So we just happened to be back at Canary 93 when this wonderful family reached out to us and joined us here tonight. So let's talk Canary 93. Raj, had you seen it before you watched it tonight?
I think I might have, but I didn't remember it. Based upon my how poorly I did on my predictions, I would say I don't. If I saw it, it didn't stick with me. So
the I need to interrupt because Wes Mayall just messaged me. So for those who tuning in late, Chad and Roger, we talked about how his mother in the interview. And Chad, have you seen the interview?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so
well, I mean, I have before, but it's not on the network, which you said. I actually went and looked for it, but
okay,
I did too.
So you've seen it before. So, you know, in it, the mother seems very turned on about the mere mention of Bret Hart, right? She's like, "Oh yeah." So we were joking about it when we had Wes and Kendra on. So Wes said his mother woke up and asked how it went because he was going to try and get her on the show, but she was sleeping. And he said he told her. And in response to what we said about her and Bret Hart, she said, "Hell yeah, I was sexually attracted to Bret Hart." So there you go. Mrs. Mayall was very, very into the Hitman.
Yeah, she was having fantastic. Some sunny days.
Sunny days. Confirmed. Yes.
Oh, confirmed. All right. So, and
this
Chad.
This is just getting better and better.
this is one of my favorite episodes of all time. And so, Chad, you said you recently watched the big matches from the show again, too. Scott, you know, our thoughts are out there, and we'll be getting to it soon in the next couple of months on our Vintage Vault Refresh series. So, Rod, your predictions, you mentioned, were a little bit off. So, what did you think of Bret Hart's big night here? Did you enjoy the matches? What did you think was the best of the matches? Was he a worthy King of the Ring? What are your thoughts there?
Yes. And yes, I mean, I thought it was I thought his matches were the best on the card. The Mr. Perfect match, I thought, was the best one. The Razor Ramon match was good, and you know, given that the result was pretty obvious when he was fighting Mr. Bigelow, I thought that was not a bad match.
Can never count out Bigelow though. He'll always come back when you don't expect it.
He will, and you know, I'm watching it and. I'm just thinking, hey, this is scripted, so I'm just going to enjoy it for what it is.
Just take it for what it is.
It was it was fantastic, but in all seriousness, Brett, great night, and I love the ending too. I thought, you know, Lawler was awesome, beating the piss out of him at the end. I was thoroughly satisfied with all things Bret Hart on this show.
What did you think of the Lawler stuff, Chad? Because that was like the first time he really. I mean, he was in the Rumble. Eliminated Perfect, but this is like the first time he really did something kind of really dastardly and underhanded. I mean, he had kind of, I don't know, had the Tiny Tim thing. No, because we haven't seen it yet on Raw, right? So that hadn't happened yet. So I think this is the first time he really struck and kicked off a very meaningful kind of hot run.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he kind of, up to this point, I mean, he was on the primetime panel in the wake of that show and kind of in the peripheral, but not kind of in the forefront. On the WWF side. So it was kind of two thoughts. When I was a kid with this show, I mean, honestly, when I saw Lawler attack Bret, I was very taken aback. I was very surprised because this was someone that when I was growing up, I either watched WCW or WWF. So this was someone I hadn't seen before, you know, and kind of thought he was in the vein, I guess, is like a Slick or someone, you know, not really a guy that would be in a main event feud versus Bret Hart. But now looking back on it, when I watched it a couple of days ago, I loved it. I thought it was very well done. His attack is brutal. Wow, he just like slams the chair on the top, on the back.
I agree,
Bret.
Chad. I loved it when he hit him with the throne. Favorite part of the attack.
Well, and Bret has said he really fucked his back up with that scepter shot too, that he really caught him good.
Yeah, I mean, Lawler, I'm definitely, I think you could tell he knew this was, I mean, honestly, up to this point on the national promotion, even when he was the unified AWA champion in the dying days, I would say this up to this point in his career was probably his biggest moment nationally. Maybe the Jerry Law, the Andy Kaufman, David stuff, Letterman yeah. stuff. Yeah. So, but this is up there. So I think he definitely wanted to maximize that, and it's been very refreshing right now. I'm going through 1993 as a year worldwide, and it's just been awesome watching the USWA stuff and the WWF stuff. And while there has been crossover up to this point, we haven't seen like heel Vince and USWA yet. And this really feels like when the feud kind of takes another step up. Where so far on the USWA side of things, we've seen Doink kind of creating havoc and some other crossover stuff. Randy Savage was in for a pretty cool feud with Lawler, where the Savage came out and attacked Lawler on the USWA studio in his like 1983 all black attire, which was nice, a nice throwback. But to me, this is really when it became like a WWF versus USWA feud with the alternate universe of in Memphis, Lawler is the face and Hart and Vince and everybody else from the WWF is the heel, and that's the direct reverse in the WWF.
Raj, did you feel like Bret's night here made up for the disaster at WrestleMania?
Yes. I did.
Okay.
It was, this was a great night, right? I mean, what did you guys think of the, of his matches? Like even the Razor Ramon match, I thought was fantastic. And the perfect match was, all time better than anything we've seen on Raw probably.
Oh yeah, easily easily an all time, classic. And I always liked the Bret Bigelow match. And they've had a couple of good ones. There's another one on one of Bret's DVDs they had. It was like in Spain. Was a good one too, and they went right around the house show circuit. Yeah, those are three great matches. I always loved his performance on that night. I mean, he eats up how much wrestling? It's like over an hour, right, on the show. It's like well over a third of the show is his matches.
Yeah, we did the math. I think it's on our written review. It's like 46 minutes or something.
Yeah, it's something crazy along those lines. Yeah, no, I dug it a lot. I thought it was definitely we're sorry we screwed your WrestleMania, and in a way it was more fitting. Like, the main event right now with Hogan and Yoko kind of had the old kind of plodding guard, and Bret is out there just busting his ass wrestling three matches on the night. It was almost more fitting of his style to go do something like that than to even be in the title matches with Hogan and Yoko. Chad, you said go ahead, Raj.
What do you guys think of the commentary? Because I thought the commentary was great with Heenan and Macho Man. I thought they meshed well.
I think they were definitely stronger here than a Mania. I think you could tell they had kind of learned the vibe of the three men. I thought JR was really good in the show.
Yeah, and Ross too, sorry.
Yeah, yes. I liked him a lot in this one. I thought he was really on point. I thought he was better here than a Mania. And I'm a Savage fan on commentary, so I always enjoyed it because he's so absurd. And Bobby's always great too. Chad, what did you think? Are you a Savage fan on commentary?
I go back and forth, but I thought here he was good because he actually was more kind of locked in and helped get over the storyline. Like in the Bret Razor things, I like, there's a moment where Heenan asks them to predict who's going to win the whole thing. And Savage gets so excited on commentary. He's like, ooh, I like it. And then he ends up picking Perfect, which was pretty cool because, I mean, you would assume that he knew what was going to happen.
Right.
First he says it's either going to be Hard or Perfect, and then he sides with Perfect. So he subscribes to the more set prediction there. going with. But yeah, the commentary here I thought was really strong. That was one of my focal points in rewatching this that I didn't remember. And it's a pretty odd commentary team, I think. I mean, do they do SummerSlam? I don't even know who does SummerSlam 93. Is it
Vince and Bobby do SummerSlam?
Right. So this
is it.
This and WrestleMania is kind of it for them, and this was a much stronger effort. Yeah.
And I like Savage too in that opener where he talks about the time limit and everything. Like, he gets really into it.
Right, right.
You
know, so
he was really good at putting that over too.
Chad, I had predicted Perfect to bow out in the first round to the 16th seed.
To Mr. Huge, right? Yeah.
Yeah, well, because we were watching, and I was, talking to Justin about this. You know, all I've really seen are the Raws, and Hughes just was laying everybody out, right, on the Raws. I mean, they made him like a monster, and Perfect had some tough matches on the Raws, so Bad read on the Cowboys' part there. Yeah. But he did hit him with the urn.
He didn't get pinned. There. Right. And he didn't get pinned either, so they kept him strong there. What did you think of the way they did the Battle of the Undefeated guys, Raj, Tatanka and Luger? Did you think that was kind of a lame finish?
Yeah, that was probably my least favorite 15 minutes on the card because I didn't think the match was that great. And with the 15-minute time limit, I thought, you know, because I believe during the match, Heenan said something about I have Lex up on points.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, they're going to, you know, if it goes to 15 minutes, they'll declare a winner and then the other guy will get pissed off. But, yeah, I pretty contrived to call it a draw. I thought it was garbage.
It was pretty much just to keep both of them undefeated and intact. And then you had picked, I think you had picked Duggan over Bigelow, right, in your picks? Was that true?
Yeah, I was real disappointed with Hacksaw, you know.
Well, that ended up being
He almost had him. He missed the running clothesline and then took the old headbutt. But
well, that ended up being his last. I mean, he left right after that, pretty much. So he was pretty much there just to put Bigelow over.
It's like Jim Duggan is a company man.
Poured into that fucking baby Buxton tights.
So that was the last time we saw the onesie, huh?
Yep. Yeah, he was off to WCW. Well, actually, not for another year. What did? Any idea? I know who would know, VKM, but what did Duggan do during that year?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did he have a no compete?
Surely not for a year.
Because he doesn't really debut right till the night September. That he beat.
Yeah.
Right,
it's fall brawl. Right? Yeah.
Well, he shows up though, isn't he? At like is he backstage?
Oh no, he's in the he's after Hogan wins at Bash of the Beach. He's in that crowd of dopes that when they go into that
that's
suite
right.
Or whatever
that's right.
Is.
Yeah, he's hanging out.
Jay, I gotta pause for a second. JR, if the Wonderful Males family read our review,
oh, they did.
I don't understand how they could still like us.
Well, they loved it. I mean, you heard them talk about it. They loved it, and that's why they reached out to us.
We called. I can't even say it. We called the mom nasty. The nasty wife. The little scummy daughter.
She's so sweet too now.
Y'all have a chance to rectify that.
We're gonna fix it. Oh yeah, they're gonna trust me. They're gonna get heaped with praise. We're gonna fully make up for it.
Yeah,
wonderful family.
He called them a pudgy little bastard.
They joked about that. Kendra called him that on the pod. Didn't you hear him on the interview earlier? She called him pudgy little bastard.
Pudgy little bastard.
He owned that fucking Wesley, man. That kid. I love him.
Oh, he's awesome. Anyway,
so Duggan stuck around a little bit throughout the summer. Lost some
I'm sure he did house show tours and stuff, yeah.
And then he just signed in 94, so that was it. So, yeah, I guess, I don't know, it's according to Wiki, he didn't really do much.
Well, they had that, according to a couple of our fun facts, there was a European tour, because even Hogan and Jimmy went to Europe before they bolted. So that must have been commitments and stuff, so maybe Duggan did those too before they all vanished. Seems like there was a European tour in the summertime before SummerSlam, so.
It's a damn shame to keep a talent like that out of the ring for such an extended period of time.
I found the total. Brett wrestled for the three matches combined 47 minutes and 37 seconds.
Yeah.
The three matches.
Well, all three matches are so different. I think that really helps his case, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Razor match, they build him as the number one seed. Razor just lost to the 1-2-3 kid, so he's spooked. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic where Brett is the aggressor and on top for a lot of that match. Him versus Perfect is kind of your classic face versus face as they progressively get pissed off at each other, which Perez is one of the masters of. I mean, he has the Piper match that's like that.
And also the great promo beforehand, Rog. I don't know if you watched that.
Right.
With Perfect and Brett arguing about whose dad is better and all that shit.
Bringing up SummerSlam.
Yeah.
It was really good. I think the mirror of the Piper Brett match at 8 and this match are really cool to kind of think about.
Yeah.
But I think this match is better, actually, the Perfect Brett one. I like this one better than SummerSlam and WrestleMania 8. I went like 4.25 because I do quarter ratings. But
not here, pal. Keep them to the internet.
Sorry. On the PTB scale, I'd lean more 4.5.
Yeah, me too.
I like this match better than the SummerSlam match, too.
Yeah.
Chad, I always have.
Yeah. Very. I mean, it's long, good, but I think it... it really ratchets up well in intensity and then has the good, clever finish. The Bigelow match I really like too, actually. I was surprised, and I'd forgotten that they actually did the restart. I didn't remember that until I rewatched it.
Well, I remember being really, really upset at the time because I was on the edge of kind of starting to go kind of heel, but I was still very face oriented in 93. So when, Hogan lost and then Brett lost, I was like shocked. I was like, what is going on? I was like so pissed off. And then they restarted the match. But I remember at the time he's being like, I can't believe they're doing this. They're having Yokozuna and Bam Bam Bigelow win on this night.
Yeah, I like the King of the Ring Brett Bigelow patch better than the one from Barcelona. I've watched both of those in the last couple of weeks. They're both good matches. I really like this one, though. I thought Brett as an underdog was great in it and kept being resilient and then ended up getting the win, getting the huge pop, and he looked like $1 million.
The other cool thing about that Lawler finish, too, is that you didn't see that a lot on WWF pay-per-views where the heel beat the shit out of a face to end the show.
Well, I mean, up to that point, when had there been a pay-per-view that ended with the heel on top? I can't think of
Rumble 93, Yoko?
Yeah,
Rumble 93. Would
and
have
92
been it.
With Flair.
With Flair.
And Flair, yep. So your Rumble winners, that's right.
Incidentally,
no non-Rumble shows, though.
Yeah.
No. Raj.
Yes.
You watched both Royal Rumble and King of the Ring. Which Razor Brett match did you like better?
Man. I'm gonna say the one I like the King of the Ring one better. Maybe it's because it's a little fresher.
But okay.
I thought they were both very good, and I'm not trying to be a shill here or anything, but it's I thought they were both very good, but I thought the King of the Ring match was a little better.
You always like the Rumble match better, right, JR?
Yeah, they're both good, both similar and both different in ways. I like the Rumble one because Razor feels like such an underdog in that match. Like would anyone have believed he really was going to win the title? But by the end, you kind of thought maybe he could. Like, I really like the way they worked on it.
Mm. Scott, let me noodle that one over and get back to you, all right?
Okay. What about you, Chad? Which one of those two did you like better?
I think I like Rumble just a smidge. When I did my star ratings, I went like 3.5 at Rumble and 3.25 for this one. But I really love Razor's character right now. I don't think that there's been that many. It's a very unique character where, you know, he's had this humiliating loss and it's getting over huge with the crowd where everybody's chanting 1-2-3 with him. But he still can be seen as a threat, so it's a great position for him to be in. And I know what happens at the end of the year. I don't want to spoil it for Roger, but I don't know kind of when this subsides, because right now I'm enjoying the ride of his character arc, because I think it's very rare that you have someone that, I mean, on every near fall, you know, any minimal roll up now, you're kind of on the edge of your seat because it could be another upset based on what happened with the kid. I think that's a very effective tool for a character to have. So I enjoyed that with this match. And I feel like he kind of gained some confidence back even in losing, because when he came in at the beginning of this King of the Ring match, I mean, the commentators were talking about like that humiliating loss and how, you know, he had to be reeling from that. So this was a good match from a storyline sense for Brett to advance, and also for Razor to gain a little confidence going into the big showdown Raw match that he's going to have with the 1-2-3 kid.
And also this pay-per-view, I don't know if they left this in on the network, Raj, I don't know if you came across it, the hotline segment in the back where Razor Ramon's on the phone, all the guys are on the phone doing the hotline.
To be honest, I mean, I watched it tonight, and I had to, for time's sake, I just watched the matches. So
I don't know if it's on the network, but this is the one where they ask Razor, you know, do you think 1-2-3 kid's going to accept the money? And he goes, The amount of money I'm offering the 123 kid, I could have Mr. Perfect's mother dancing naked on the table. And Perfect's like sitting right next to him. It's like one of the best fucking. It's such a great delivery, too. And it says he's such a dick. Like Perfect's sick right there.
I forgot about that. That's funny.
So I don't remember if that's on, if that made it. I got to watch that on the network and see if that made it in.
Talk about the Hogan match.
Well, hang on. I want to say that for last. I want to talk about two other things. So let's just cover the rest of the undercard. Savage, Shawn Michaels' crush. Ends up being for the Intercontinental title with Diesel at ringside. Disappointing again. And it's sad because Shawn is a guy that we've had a lot of hype for in 93. You know, he had a good 92, broke out, and he had a good Marty match on Raw. But to, on pay-per-view to this point, and Roger, you just watched them all, they all been a little disappointing. His match with Jannetty at the Rumble was a little below what you'd expect for them. The Tatanka match was okay. And then this match here was, I thought, a real disappointment.
Train wreck. Worse, you know, not very good at all. I mean, do you think that's more of a, like who he was fighting?
I mean, yeah, but I think that he was getting the rep already that he was someone that could carry a guy like Crush. And then to see him not be able to do it was kind of disappointing.
Agreed.
What do you think, Chad?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. That and watching 93 Michaels, his character's been there. But as far as the in-ring work and being a ring general as a heel secondary champion, I don't think there's been many examples so far to show that off as well. I mean, almost in 92, it feels like he – I mean, he may have had better quality. I mean, he certainly in some instances had better quality of opponents. But I don't think you'd expect something great out of Crush, but – just thinking, like, I mean, Bret Hart with Fatu or something like that. But there really should have, this should have been somebody else. I don't know who. Like, I think Doink, that would have been fun. Or I don't know what.
Well, they have the Doinks, Doink interferes here and cost Crush, which also was like, I really liked Crush at the time. I remember just being so pissed off that, you know, they kept doing the Doink shit. And it's like, just let him move on. You know, like, right. Why do we need to keep this going? Because I thought like Crush had a lot of potential. And the Doink stuff just completely sidetracked him.
So this is a pretty disappointing match. The Tatanka match, I guess, is okay, but I don't know.
So then the other non-title match, non-tournament match, is the eight-man, the Steiners and the Smoking Guns against Money Inc. and the Beverly, oh no, the Head Shrinkers. And this match might be a little bit disappointing. It's pretty short. And I think, is it Rick Steiner? One of them doesn't even get in the match. I think it's Rick. The match just flies by. The Guns and the Steiners win. Just any thoughts there, quick, Raj?
I didn't like that match. I thought that match was a little too quick, and
because they put a lot of build on the Raws we watched. Right.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean, with all of them, you know, and it was, you know, it was just too quick, and I wasn't really that happy. I mean, if you would have told me I had to pick who was going to get the win, it certainly wouldn't have been a gun on a cheap roll up 5 minutes into the match or whatever it was. Right. Scott, you can correct me on the time. But yeah, it was almost like they treated it like a throwaway, you know, which I didn't really get. It would have made more sense just to have a straight tag match or two straight tag matches.
Of the match was, you were asking about the length of the match, Raj. It was 7 minutes even.
Yeah.
Yeah. With all those competitors, I mean, it felt like 30 seconds, really.
Right.
Yeah.
It was
a short. Sean and Crush was 11-12.
Yeah, it was just an awful ending. The eight man, I think, would have been better served. Even if you don't want to do a title match there, if you don't want to do Steiner's Money Inc. on that show, you could always have just done like the Guns debut match against Money Inc. or against the Head Shrinkers just to have them on, like pay-per-view debut match. So yeah, I agree with you. It seemed really forced and really rushed. I thought it was odd how Rick never even tags into the match. He probably ran to his boss to complain right after, but it was a little weird that they went that way. And yeah, again, not the best debut for the Guns, but they get the win. So now we can talk Hogan Yoko. The Yellow Belly comes in, defends his title. Had not been on Raw pretty much at all, I think, since WrestleMania. Not even really on TV. Maybe a canned promo here or there on Superstars. Had done some house show stuff. All right, Raj, you seemed pretty amped to talk about it, so share your thoughts.
Yeah, so has that ever happened before? Where Hogan does the Hulk up, hits the leg drop, and then doesn't win? Was this a first?
I think with Warrior, right?
Well, he misses the leg drop.
He missed the leg
Warrior.
Drop with Warrior.
Yeah. Right, okay, but he did the Hulk up and everything.
He does the Hulk up, misses the leg drop, Warrior splashes.
Yeah, I think this might be the first time in Dota EF that someone kicked out of the leg drop. I don't think Andre ever did, right?
Well, I mean, I guess Sid and Mania 92, Mania 8, but that wasn't scripted, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what you guys thought, but I was pretty happy with the result of the match. I guess I'll find out, but it seemed like the cameraman with the big flash, that had to be somebody, right?
Honestly, they never talk about it after.
Wow.
They never reveal who it was.
Missed opportunity right there, you know?
They never, but, I mean, they insinuate that Fuji paid him off. But they never.
Yeah, I mean, it's just somebody Fuji paid off. It's not like a wrestler or nothing,
right?
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, the match itself was, you know, kind of your typical Hogan match. But I thought that, you know, the result was a big surprise to me, and you know, just kind of the shock of that result was made it worth the price of admission. And also, I watched it with with my wife Katie. Cowgirl Katie, as she's known here on the Place to Be Nation, and she was pretty taken aback by some of the stereotype stuff with the she's like, are those photographers? And then Heenan made some sort of I haven't seen that many Japanese people since the last time I was at Benihana, which and she's like, can they say that on TV? It was a different era.
Very different era.
Like, he's not even Japanese. He's Samoan. He's Samoan, right?
And, representing Japan.
But I thought it was I liked the match. I liked the result. That match encapsulated, you know, main events during that era, right? So I thought it was good.
And it was a real slap to Hogan because Yoko kicks out a leg drop and then beats him with a leg drop, which is kind of like a slap, and then hits him with the bonsai drops after, and they promise these updates to come. They're like, you know, we'll keep you updated on Hogan's condition, and he's never really mentioned again. So this is his last appearance on TV. He would work the European tour. He would appear in the magazine, but he was never on TV again after this for them until 2002. So really...
Did they know he was on his way out?
Yeah, which is why they did definitely. This. So, I mean, credit to him, I guess, for putting Yoko over strong. He could have really pussyfooted and said, I'm not doing it, but he did. He let him blow out of his finisher and then got pinned, you know, I won't say clean, but as close to clean as he's going to get.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then he would be gone right after this. So they immediately turn the page, move on, and almost revert back to where they were in early 93 before he showed back up. And it's kind of like, you know, Dallas JR comes out of the fucking shower or whatever. You know, it's like Hogan showed up in February. It was like this alternate universe. And then King of the Ring ends, and it's just like back to where we were in January. Hogan's gone, and we're just kind of reset the picture a bit.
So there was almost no point to it.
Right, not at all.
No,
like, it did not accomplish anything that they thought it would. It was very.
Did you guys actually? Did you guys like the match?
It was all right.
Yeah,
served its purpose.
It's a spectacle more than a match, I would say.
Yeah, yeah,
but from a storytelling perspective.
Yeah, I think the story's good, and the impending, like, I thought they built the doom of it well. Like Hogan, if you're looking for it, you know, like it might have caught you off guard, but I bet if you go back and rewatch it, you'd kind of pick up on things like. Hogan fails on the body slam. He looks out of sorts. He kind of, his usual stuff isn't working, and he just never figures out how to make it work. And then by the time he does, things go to hell for him. So I kind of like that build to it.
Now, when you guys watched this originally, did you know that he was on his way out and he might lose this match? Or it was a different time then. Right?
I was shocked.
I mean, it was a complete shocker, I would assume.
I was shocked. I was floored that he lost.
It was bad times in the Campbell household when I watched this the first time, because even, I mean, like, I'm one of the, I mean, again, it was with a child's eyes, but I think when I was born, you know, when I first started watching wrestling was kind of at the tail end of the Hulkamania era in WWF. But I was all in on him winning at WrestleMania 9. Like, it wasn't like I was like, oh, he screwed out Bret, or I wish Bret would have been the champion. I was ecstatic that Hogan won the title again at WrestleMania 9. So I was pretty, like, heartbroken here.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was definitely shocked for sure as well. I was a Hogan fan too. And I remember because they seemed so confident that I just assumed when he was like, Hogan's like, I'm going to slam him, and Brutus is going to come cut his hair. And I was waiting for it all to happen. I thought Hogan was going to slam him. Beefcake was going to come out, cut his ponytail off. I was like all pumped up. And then he never slammed him. And I was like, holy shit. And I thought it was really shrewd that they didn't waste the body slam, because as you'll see, Raj, that becomes a big plot point going forward for Yoko. I'm glad they didn't blow Hogan slamming him.
Yeah, that's something I never even thought about, but it's pretty smart. Yeah, so that's cool.
My prediction is they're bringing Hacksaw Jim Duggan back for one night and one night only to be the man to body slam Yokozuna.
Okay, we'll see where that goes. But
he could rip the crotch on his youth medium singlet. So
I always love, too, the absurdity of Tunney like presenting the belt afterwards. Like, didn't he watch what happened? Like, it was like this big fucking screw job.
He says congratulations.
Roger Goodell out there friggin'.
Well, and then this is the big inconsistency because, you know, this whole thing happens where a fucking camera flames up and fires in Hogan's face, and Yoko wins the title, and the president's just offering him congratulations, but, you know, Hart gets slammed with a chair, and we have to restart the match.
It's
kind of pretty inconsistent, but, yeah.
At least they explained it by saying Tony was incompetent most of the time, so kind of a... But I also like the Sean interview that follows it, where he says like Hogan go hang out with the other dinosaurs or whatever he said, kind of taking a shot at WCW. I like that a lot.
Obviously, early on in his career, Sean was breaking the fourth wall there, even when he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, this I think you can kind of tell that. I mean, I do think like some of the younger talent with this show, they felt hungry, like this was a show of change, you know, like the winds of change were coming in. So they kind of, this is our time, you know?
Right.
You could kind of get that feeling. I mean, Lawler and the main event viewed at the end didn't necessarily associate with that, but it's at least a different person. And you have this really dominant heel champion, so.
And even it was very nice. And Bret, Razor. Right. You know, Sean with Diesel, Crush. Yeah, a lot of those guys is prominently featured. And
Tatanka.
Yep, Tatanka. Luger, even, who was new to that.
Luger was still fresh, yeah.
I don't know why they had those two guys fight each other.
It makes no sense. I mean, I think they only did it so they could eliminate them both without losing, because they were both undefeated. So I think if they split them, they couldn't have them both lose. So
I guess I'm rebooking here, but wouldn't it... Couldn't you put one of them in the IC title match and then put the other one again and then put Crush against the other one in the King of the Ring?
The problem is at some point you need to do something screwy to get them both. They didn't want either of them to lose yet. So they're kind of stuck. Unless you're going to give them the IC title, but...
I mean, I think in retrospect you probably could have put Tatanka in the IC championship match and he loses his first match. But then you have the problem with Luger. Because, he either has to beat Bigelow and go to the finals and you rebook, you know, pretty much everything, or he loses to Bigelow, which wouldn't have made sense.
It's true.
It was a tough spot having two undefeated guys that you wanted to keep undefeated and not win.
you need one of those NBA, when the team's tanking, fake hamstring injuries.
Right, you need something like that. Or maybe they just, maybe you have them go to a double count out in a qualifying match and they don't get another shot at the tournament and they're just off the show. You know, just don't have them on. All right, any final thoughts, Raj, on the show?
I thought it was really good. It was I like the way we built to it through the Raws. It's been a fantastic experience for me. And I really enjoyed the show, and I'm looking forward to continuing on with the story. And I'm pretty happy that I had no idea that Hogan was gone after this. So that makes me look forward to what's coming up next even more. So I'll give it a 8 out of 10.
Is it the best pay-per-view of the year for you so far?
Yes.
How about you, Chad?
Yeah, I think this is the best pay-per-view since SummerSlam 92. Easy.
Yep.
I think this is the best in-ring worked one-night tournament in WWF history. And I go back and forth. I mean, Survivor Series 98 is a show we did fairly recently. That's kind of a booking masterpiece. This I thought was pretty well booked. I mean, really only the Tatanka Luger thing is the big blemish, but otherwise it was booked well. And you had the type of matches. I mean, kind of there was a lot of wrong choices or different choices I think they could have made that still would have made sort of sense, but you wouldn't have had as many good matches like Bret Hart beating another big heel in Mr. Hughes. From a storyline standpoint, I mean, that makes sense, and that's an option that they could have went with. But the fact that they went with the perfect angle, had the great perfect versus Brett classic match, to me, that gets a thumbs up in my book.
And we should also note this was the first pay-per-view King of the Ring ever. First time they had a pay-per-view between Mania and SummerSlam to fill that void, that gap that had been going on. And I thought it set up for a reputation that would not really be upheld completely by the King of the Ring product name, but that lingered with it for a few years because this one was so good. It got a lot of excitement up for future installments.
Mm. I agree. And I think it's unfortunate that over time they didn't elevate as well as they could have with this tournament. But they definitely needed something to fill until obviously 1996 when they went monthly. But yeah, I think it definitely showed a bright light for the company on that night, including that wonderful family. Yes. They were the shining light. Period. So
they were. It was their night. And this will be our night. We're gonna wrap up now. So Scott, let's quickly talk about our schedule going forward. So, like we mentioned earlier, we kind of referred to it with everything kind of going on both in my life and your life, and our desire to keep the show going and not keep it at a pace where we can't keep up and it starts to become a chore and then we end up having to can things and keep canceling and rescheduling. We're going to go to a different system where we're only going to have a guaranteed two shows a month. So it's going to be every other week alternating with the Kevin Kelly main event weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's every Friday night, every other Friday night, I should say, will be a Vintage Vault. So you can lock those in starting next a week from tonight will be Judgment Day 04. Then we'll be off the week after for the Kevin main event week, back the next week with the next show. That's not to say that there'll be no other shows, but those are the only two that'll be guaranteed to occur every month unless something haywire comes up. Mm. Otherwise, we'll do ad hoc shows. If we're both free for one night, we can get together. We can do something else. Mm-hmm. This doesn't mean this is going to be permanently how it's going to be, but for a little while now, just because it's just getting too much with us trying to keep up and having to keep rescheduling and canceling, it's just getting too much. Right. So this is a schedule we feel like we can uphold. We know the vaults are extremely popular with our fan base, and that doesn't change at all, right? Because we were doing that anyway. We're doing a vault every other week.
Exactly.
So you're just losing the stuff in between for now. And like I said, there may be weeks where we can come together and pull it off and structure one and have one in there. Also, the live watch is obviously the thing that's going to take the biggest hit. Those may stay alive, just not as part of the Place to Be podcast, but with part of the crew. Rogers expressed interest in keeping the Raw one going with the crew, and Scott, I think you're going to keep the Saturday's Main Event one going, and we'll talk to the other guys about maybe doing the Nitros. Maybe Will can lead those or something like that. So that's something we want to definitely keep as part of PlaceToBeNation.com. But as far as the podcast proper that's been going since 2011 at a pretty hectic pace, twice a week until the Kevin Kelly show started, and then it became, three every 2 weeks. Will now be every other Friday Vintage Vault for now, and then we'll keep you posted. We'll surprise you here and there with special shows. But we feel like it's a good time to do it because there's so many other podcast offerings on the site to keep you busy. There's definitely no lack of audio to get you through your day and your weeks. So we appreciate all your support over the years. And we'll continue to bring you as much quality audio as we can, as well as written product on PlayStation.com. Our Vintage Vault Refresh series will continue on. We'll be active there. And Scott, like you said, you'll keep running the main event. Extra Point will still keep going. I'll still be producing Kevin Kelly's show. So a lot going on. We're not going anywhere. Just a little bit reduced schedule for you and me. Any thoughts you want to put on that?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, you know, life goes on. We've got a lot of things going on. And it's better to spread it out and keep the quality high than quality. It will always be better than quantity. And trying to rush things and squeeze them together and then start at 11 o'clock at night. And we're, you know, every time I think of a late cast, I go all the way back to episode 2 when we were talking about the San Francisco Giants offseason at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's quality is better than quantity. We want to give everyone the best shows we can. And right now, the best way to do that is to spread them out.
Yep.
So, and we appreciate all of you for sticking with us, 368 episodes. And we're still here, but we're just going to spread things out. And again, we got some great shows, Main Event, Kevin Kelly Show, with the Big Boys Play, and obviously our sports programming, myself with Extra Point, of course, Raj with The Lounge.
Tied to wrestling if Parv isn't locked up.
Yep. So, but you and I will always be here. The mothership will always be here. So it'll just be in dock for a little more than it normally is. But we'll always give you the best product we possibly can.
So, all right, good stuff. So with that said, we want to thank everyone who joined us here tonight. That is Kendra Mayle, Wes Mayle, Chad Campbell, Roger Morissette.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you. Scott, we'll be back next Friday, Judgment Day 04, finally. I feel like I've been sitting on that one for a while. In the meantime, be sure to check out all the other shows like we mentioned. Check out PlaceToBeNation.com. Share your feedback, all your thoughts. Hopefully you enjoyed the interview from earlier. It was kind of a dream come true for yourself and myself.
Yep.
Mainly
me. Yes, definitely.
So that's it. We're out. We'll talk to you next Friday. Oh, yeah.
That's probably what you said right now.
Me and Roger gonna continue the live Raw Watches as we're calling it straight shooting.
We should.